In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today's gospel lesson, which I just read from the Gospel of Matthew, is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, which began last Sunday when you heard the reading of the famous Beatitudes, in which Jesus declares who his disciples already are in his eyes. Today's lesson adds three more descriptors of who they are. The Greek actually is much more emphatic than the English translation. Jesus is looking right at them, and he is saying, "You are the salt of the earth." He's looking at them, he's saying, "You are the light of the world." Actually, the Greek's in the plural, so really what he was saying is, "You all are the salt of the earth. You all are the light of the world." And he doesn't make it conditional on anything. You don't have to have a high level of holiness or some magnificent excellence in ethical behavior. He's telling them that they're already salt and light, even though they're raw recruits for this new ministry in God's kingdom. That's why he went on to say, "Together, you all are a city set on a hill." Now, by following Jesus, the disciples will have great opportunities to exercise their saltiness and their light. Oh, there's plenty of evidence they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Nothing new. But that didn't make Jesus one less iota certain that they were already salt and light. He foresaw that they would create whole communities that would stand out like cities set upon a hill. However, it wasn't primarily for their own benefit, their blessedness. He went on to warn them, if they don't use their salt and their light, those qualities will be useless. They'll be lost. Salt, you know, that's not, at least in those days, that wasn't used fairly soon would get mixed in with other things and have to be thrown away because it wouldn't taste salty anymore. Salt is meant to savor our food and to preserve it, among a lot of other things like melting ice and snow. And who in the world puts your lamp under a bushel basket? You don't do that. You put it on the lampstand so that everybody can see. You know, the purpose of light is that it opens up the dark world for us. And it allows us to detect all kinds of things, great and small. Things here right now and stars that were born millions of years ago. You know, in those days, salt and light were very expensive, unlike today where they're really cheap. And in small villages, you had to share your salt and your light if the whole village was to survive. And when they got some extra, you know what they did? They celebrated, and they called it sharing the salt. And its preservative character was considered to be holy. And so when they made a covenant, some kind of deal with each other, they would salt it, just like we put sealing wax on it to show that it's official. And likewise, Jesus is telling them that they're going to share their salt and their light when they go with him or in all the villages around in Galilee. Now, he's obviously not talking about little baggies of salt or little flashlights giving out to the villagers that they are meet when they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's a metaphor. And salt's a really interesting metaphor. It's got a zillion different applications. It's so fundamental to life in so many ways. But you know something? Salt's not meant to stand alone. Who wants to just eat salt straight out, right? We don't do that. So salt left alone doesn't do anything. And you know something? If salt is put in the wrong place or there's too much of it, it can be very destructive. So you want just the right amount of it to give that food the taste you want, but not overwhelm the flavor. So the kingdom or realm of God is just like that. It's not meant to be stand alone. It's meant to be mixed in with all of your life so that your life might have some special flavor called peace and joy. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus' first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, he spells out what this saltiness in his life is going to be. He said, "I have come to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, setting at liberty those who are oppressed." And he went about village by village demonstrating that by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, casting out demons in those who were possessed by them. Jesus expected his disciples, and by extension you and me, to be salt of the earth for everyone around us. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, being called the salt of the earth was one of the highest compliments people could make. I don't know if anybody's ever called you salt of the earth, but if they do, it's a compliment, a big compliment, because it brings a sense of peace and joy to that person and all of those around them. You know, also, speaking of joy, I don't think that Jesus spent all of his time out working hard, because the gospel seemed to say he really enjoyed dinner parties. I think he'd fit into our fellowship dinners just great. And you know something else? I think he would even enjoy coming to our Mardi Gras party, providing the jokes don't get too salty. Being light in the world and letting your light shine so that everyone can see your good works, which are the fruit of your being salty, is a challenge. In the following chapter, Jesus warns you about doing good things in order to bring the focus on you, the credit on you. He says, if you do that, that's the end of it. You don't get any credit for it with God. So we're challenged to let the world see our good works, but not to take credit for it, but rather to let the world see God working in and through us. Our good works ought to bring glory to God, not ourselves. Let's face it, to do good stuff in the world we live in takes a good dose of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. My friends, as I look around our parish, I see a lot of saltiness. Yeah, some salty characters too. But I see a lot of good works. I see a lot of good salty works. Our parish really is a city set upon a hill where we're known for our salty life together, a life full of faith, a life full of joyful fellowship, a life full of service to others. Now, my friends, these are good and acceptable These are good and effective ways of sharing the good news. And it challenges us to stay up on that hill and not to slide down into the valley of self-interest and isolation from the needs of the world around us. A good friend of mine a couple of days ago mentioned an interview that she heard with the actor Russell Brand, who was commenting on the recent tragic death of the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. Both men were, and now Brand still is, recovering drug addicts. Brand noted that Hoffman had been sober for 20 years, twice as many years as Brand. But Brand said very thoughtfully, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been sober. Today could be the day you fall off the wagon. He said, you got to fight the good fight every day, day in and day out. And he finished by saying, you know, it's that simple. It's that simple, but it's never easy. And my friend picked up on that phrase, it's that simple, but it's never easy. And she made a great sermon out of it. My friends, Jesus is looking at you and me, and he's saying, you all are the salt of the earth. You all are the light of the world. So let it shine. Let it flavor your life together. Let it flavor your families. Let it flavor your workplaces. Let it flavor our parish. Together, we are a city set on a hill. And Jesus knows it's not simple. Never, it's not, no matter how simple that great truth is, he knows it never was, never will be easy. But I want to leave you with a great truth. And that truth is that such a journey will be simpler and it will be easier if we make it together. Amen.
Amen.